Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook Podcast. On today's episode, we have the 2019 Courier-Journal Statewide Coach of the Year, Chris Stallings from Bullitt East High School. Coach Stallings had his team playing their best basketball at the right time, as they looked poised to make a run at the state tournament before it was called off. You can tell on the show how much he cares about his players and his family, and how he incorporates both into his program. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. Enjoy! On today's episode, we are joined by 2019 6th Region Champion Coach Chris Stallings from Bullitt East High School. Coach Stallings' team came on as strong as any down the stretch, knocking off Sacred Heart, Butler, and E-Town in the last 2 weeks of the season before COVID-19 brought things to a halt. Coach Stallings, thanks for joining the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Like I said, and thank you so much for doing these and just trying to grow our game and our sport. I really appreciate it.
Sure. We were joking around before we started. I've got my son and his little jumper in the background. So if you hear all kinds of crazy noises, just try to hang in there with us and ignore it. But,
that's music to my ears. I enjoy kids. I've got 2 grandkids myself. And so I know the joys of parenthood.
Well, you're a good man, Coach, but let's keep first things first on here. We are not mentioning the regional championship game anymore. So that's done. We're going to move into this. So, I do want to get right into what I think separates you guys from the rest. And that's not just this season, but just year in, year out. And that's how hard you guys play. And, I think some people may say, well, playing hard isn't necessarily a skill, but I think they're absolutely wrong. You guys were able to make up for a multitude of sins just by playing hard. And we try to tell our kids that you can make up for a lot by just playing hard. But don't be modest here. Tell us how you get your players to play like that. I mean, it was just impossible to beat you guys on the floor and impossible to beat you to 50-50 balls. So just elaborate on that.
Well, I think – a lot of through the years, our kids have taken great pride, in our program and have made it what it is today. And we've got a lot of competitive kids. We like to compete. I tell people we try to compete in practice a lot of different ways. I thought back through the years, we've changed that in different forms. It's taken different forms. We used to compete every drill and run after the loser, whatever. We've gone on more here the last few years. We'll have teams. I'll split them up 2-3 teams for a week at a time. And, we'll through our drills and games, even our shooting drills, has a winner and losers. And then at the end of the week that they'll get something, like an ice cream, I'll take the team out for ice cream or a pizza. They might get out of a run, or something like that, that kind of helps motivate them through the course of the year. And I think you have to keep mixing it up. And so our kids, when I say it's a color day or a color war, their face lights up and they know that, like I said, we're going to have a good time. We're going to compete and play hard.
That's good. I see, I watch you coach on the sideline and, you're very poised. Do you ever like raise your voice? Do you ever get into them? Is halftime or pregame maybe more animated than in game? Or are you just cool like Sunday morning?
No. Our kids know I'm pretty I've matured through the years. I think you go through stages coaching. And you kind of learn and what works for you. and you take things from these talks, you know, if you just take one or two things and add them to your program, I used to be that way. I used to be really, really intense every day and every, you know, about everything. And you know, I think with today's kids and today's players, they've changed a little bit. And our kids realize now, you know, if I say, hey, at the end of one of those drills, those competitive drills, you know, you didn't give me everything you had, they know there's going to be consequences. And so our kids do a good job most days of going in and working real hard when they're in the gym and getting things accomplished. And I try not to during the game. I think there's enough stress of the actual plan on players today. A lot of from outside, you know, in the school setting or you know, in the community setting, I feel there's a lot of stress put on those kids to perform. And so I try to not downplay that, but to be on the other end and say, hey, you know, we're in this together. And so I think our kids have a lot of confidence and gain that, you know. Now, if we haven't done certain things that we want to get accomplished at halftime, there, you know, I'm going to get on them and certain things, but I don't, I'm not as much as I used to, sure. As far as being how intense I am.
I heard, you know, I've heard it said a couple times that if you live and die with each game or with each play, you'll die a million deaths. And it's so true. And I think as you mature as a coach and as you get older, you know, one thing you realize is, you know, I don't think my body can do this. I don't think my mind, and I don't think it's good. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I don't think it's great for you. I think especially, you know, for younger coaches and guys who are just getting started, you know, you just want it so bad and you feel a need. I don't know if it's to prove yourself or to prove your program. And you just want it all at once and you just want to give it everything. And I think it comes from a good place and I think you can justify it a million ways. But at the end of the day, I think that, like you said, you mature, you go through a new stage in life and you realize it's probably not best for the kids. It's probably definitely not best for me. I was definitely on pace to probably die at 30. Had I kept going the way I was going. So that's good stuff.
Yes. You can quickly, like I said, eat yourself up. You just can. And I've been blessed, you know, at home. I've been able to had a great wife and great, you know, marriage and she's been really supportive of the time that I spend. I know you spend a lot of time with it, and you got to find ways to include them, you know, your children and your wife and in the whole process. And two, I think you have to look at things realistically as far as the talent you have and you got to break it down into small things, small wins. And I think that helps a lot too.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that's probably something else that comes with maturity too. Those are some of the hardest things I think for me coming up was, you know, I thought we should win every game, win every possession, win every quarter. And even if my talent level wasn't there. And so that's all really good. You know, another area I feel like you guys were exceptional in, I just thought you guys were a really, really skilled team. And when I say that, it seems to be a program built thing. You know, there are some really, really good teams where you can just throw five super talented players and they're going to be great because they've got a bunch of talented players. Well, your kids seem to be program built skilled. And what I'm saying is, even though they're all different and they're different positions and stuff, you can kind of see it in their mannerisms and some other things that they have a lot of the same little things to their game. And I don't know if that makes sense, but you can just kind of tell they all shoot it. They all drive it. They all have the confidence to take shots. how much time do you devote to skill work during the season? And what do you particularly attack in those skill portions of practice?
Well, Wyatt, you know, a few years ago, about 8 to 10 years ago, I was probably more of a set coach and ran a lot of different sets and we still do sometimes, but, you know, we would get to the end of the season and even, you know, during district or region, and, you know, I just got to looking and thinking, and at that time, there were still things that I wished our players, fundamental things, and of passing or shooting or handling the ball, that we still need to work on. And, you know, every coach does it at the end of the year, goes back and looks, and what could I have done better, or what could we have done better? And I just kept going back to that. You know, at the end of the day, it's a lot about fundamentals. And so it's not whether, you know, you ran that set perfect or whatever. And so we started changing our approach in practice and moved more to a fundamental type thing. And it's really helped out. I think our kids have a lot more confidence now towards the end of the year and building that. And so that's really been a key, I think, for us in our program. Just we work a lot. You know, we'll spend 30 to 45 minutes a day shooting, probably, and not every day, but at least 3 or 4 days a week. And then, you know, the other days we're going to spend maybe up to an hour on fundamental type things, and we'll break down defensively, offensively, and just work on fundamentals.
You know, I think one thing, especially as a younger coach, and even still today sometimes, you know, when you hear coaches say, you know, they talk about fundamentals, I think it kind of, you know, I think there's some questions as far as, okay, so maybe I do need to, you know, make my team more fundamentally sound. Can you just like briefly hit on maybe some specific things, whether it's your pivots, footwork, what do you consider to be some of the, you know, maybe it's left-hand passing. What are some of those fundamental areas that coaches can look at and go, all right, this is an area of fundamental, this is what I need to work on. And, you know, what is some direction? I think a lot of people hear that and then they wonder, you know, but they, no, I don't think people want to ask because they don't want to sound like they don't know what they're talking about. But I was in that boat right. For years.
Well, I think you have to look at, first off, you have to look at your program and your, you know, what you're trying to accomplish offensively and defensively. I mean, and be willing to change and adapt. You know, I was thinking there again, when we moved from the 8th to the 6th, and we still did it probably 2 years or 3 years, you know, we had a rule defensively, fundamentally, we didn't want to give up any midline drives. And, you know, I just through scouting and looking at our tape and things, I had to really change that and my philosophy, because we had gotten to the point where we were just turning kids to not let them drive midline and give them a straight line drive to the basket. And you know, it took me a few years to realize that. So you got to be real willing to, you know, look at just individual things just like that. Fundamental defensive principles, and be willing to adapt those to your kids and your program. And I think that's a key, you know, shooting. You know, we talk a lot about footwork when we shoot, and being ready, shot ready. And so we work hard fundamentally with that a lot, shooting the ball. Passing, we do a lot of different little drills, passing drills, you know, one versus two, and head up. And through our drills of a normal day, you know, those are just key type things that we talk about and try to emphasize. I don't know that we do say one drill or a set of drills, but we just try to emphasize those fundamental things. At the end of the day, what, you know, was the pass on target? You know, was that a good shot or bad shot? Where your feet sat, and different things like that. And I think through the course of the year, those fundamental ideas and principles that you try to key on each day pays off in the end.
All right, let's talk a second about relationship building. You can just tell your kids love to play for you. Probably a part of the reason they play so hard, you know, and you can also see that players, former players, the community loves you so much. I mean, shoot, when you had that parade for you, the vehicle parade for your coach of the year, it was so long. It passed my house here in St. Matthew. So you could just tell you've built those relationships. But what are some of the specific things you do through the season to build your program into a family and not just a team?
Well, I think a lot of times it starts, you know, with us. We try to emphasize, you know, our kids grow up playing with each other. And so we try to carry that over, you know, into our program. I've listened to some great things here on your podcast. People do. We just, each year we do different things that I pick up. You know, one year we had kids bring in, we'd have two kids, say a week or three, bring in something from home that they might not know. And I had one young lady one year, she was a senior, and we had started it that year. Well, I never knew she had an older brother, and she brought in a picture of him. And really, you know, her closest friends didn't know that she wants to share with, you know, each Halloween, we try to have a pumpkin carving, you know, day. We'll, after practice, we'll go out, carve pumpkins and just different things like that. We have turned them in. We call them rep events. We might go to the movies. We might, you know, this year we went and watched the USA Louisville game. One year we went to a Perfect North and went tubing and just things that they're not even related to basketball, but it gets us together and gets us in outside a setting of basketball, and they can share different experiences. And then I think that's important, especially now with this generation. I just think that's a key thing that you can relate back to during the course of a year and say, hey, do you remember this? And to make sure that those kids have those memories outside of basketball, you know, that they'll keep with them. They might not remember the score of a game, but they're going to remember that tubing trip we took or carving those pumpkins and things of that nature. I think that's important for your program and for your players after they leave and they can relate. We were blessed this year. We did something we hadn't done for a while. We had our former players write letters to our team about, you know, what it meant to them for playing, you know, in our program and good luck things. And golly, and we would read one a day or sometimes three a week. And we didn't tell them what to say. We had kids read it, and that really meant a lot to our kids. And staff, just hearing from former players and what it meant, you know, for them to play in our program.
Yeah, that had to be a rewarding thing, even for you on a personal level, because, you know, I might be afraid to ask some of my kids blindly to write letters about my program, but I'm sure your kids were beyond flattering. So that's a pretty cool deal. Something that kind of that reminded me. Something I had done in the past may interest coaches is, I think that's really powerful what you mentioned about having former players write letters, because I think kids don't realize sometimes, and we all live in the moment, but kids especially, they live in the moment. They don't realize that somebody has come through that program wearing that number and has given their everything for years. And they have that, they can look back and, they can share like, hey, this is what this means. And I think that just kind of, I think that's powerful. And something I've done in the past is I would have my seniors, after they graduated, I would have them write a letter to the next person who gets their number. Just kind of a, hey, my name is so-and-so and I was number whatever. And, in my time, whatever. And I think that's just a powerful thing for a kid to come into. And, Lord knows I haven't been anywhere long enough to do it long enough for the kid to get, more than two numbers, but I think it's a cool thing if you can do that. If you're somewhere for a while and you can do that, I think that's powerful.
Well, it is. And another thing that it does, it tells that current player, hey, they've been in my same shoes, that they've, gone through this. They've been here and done that. Different letters touch on different things. And so it might mean something to you, different than it does the next girl. And so it was really, really rewarding for us this year. And I didn't know, there again, my assistant headed it up, and I wouldn't know who wrote it until the end, and we try to guess. My staff would try to guess who it was, and then the player would read who it was. And we'd talk about that player. So I would say, hey, she did this, or she was able to do that, her qualities. And it was really neat because, like I said, they saw and heard from somebody that lived it and been in our kids' shoes before.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's something. I think that's something some other guys would like to take and take back to their program. Something I got to see. Let's talk about some X's and O's, some philosophy type stuff. Something I got to see firsthand was your guys' delay game. Unfortunately, late in the game when you know they're going to foul, or you're trying to run a little bit of clock. You guys just do a really, really good job of keeping it away. We were able to turn a lot of teams over late because it just seemed like, they're just trying to hold it. They get on their heels and we could pressure them and turn them over. Without going into a ton of detail, I'm not going to try to get you to tell on yourself about the X's and O's, but just talk about how much you work on that and how you replicate the pressure of those moments in practice, if it's even possible, and how you get your kids in a mindset of, maybe, hey, we'll still take a layup when it's there.
Well, I thought about that a little bit, and I think it's harder to do with younger teams. This year we were very experienced team, and I think it's easier to teach if you've got an experienced team. And this year, I remember the first time we did it, first two or three times, we would do situations and practice that. Our kids didn't want to try to score, say up four with 2 minutes left or something. And, it's always been my philosophy that if you're going to do that, you've got to tell your kids and free them up and say, hey, we're driving to score. You've got to drive to score if you're going to draw the defense, and then you can kick, but feel free. If you get inside the paint, and you've got a layup to take it. And so that's been our philosophy. It's worked sometimes, and sometimes it hasn't. And you just have, as a coach and as your kids, you have to tell them and give them that freedom. Say, hey, we're gonna if you're going to take that shot, you're going to make it. Sometimes you're going to miss it. And so I think that's a key thing when you're trying to hold a ball. Instead of saying, okay, we're just going to hold it, you've got to give them that freedom to drive the ball to the basket. And so that helps us in those situations. And having your kids understand, you know, like I told you earlier, we're going to have to score. We're going to have to make some free throws. We're going to have to take some layups in those situations to win. And so our kids have felt really comfortable with it most years that we've put that in.
Well, it's good stuff, and that's we're going to steal it, you know. So don't be surprised if you see Butler running it next year, because it was good. All right,
that's okay.
Last segment here, I'm going to throw a full court press on you. I'm going to ask you a series of rapid fire questions, and you have 10 seconds or less to answer. All right.
Okay.
All right. Does high school need a shot clock?
In our region, I don't think we do. I can only speak for our region. Plus, I really worry about finding quality people consistent enough to run it. I say no.
All good points. Up three with 8 seconds, ball's at half court. Are you fouling or are you playing it out?
That depends on who I'm playing. And how good I feel like we are defensively.
Okay.
Plus, we've given up a lot of free throw line rebounds through the year, so I don't know.
Best player you have ever coached against?
You know, I thought about that. I've played against a lot of, or we have played against a lot of great players. Sierra Ricketts probably gave us more fits. They were in our district there at Fairdale, and she was a phenomenal player. So as far as playing the most, Zaya Cook was another one. We played her. I can even go back to Crystal Kelly. Jamie Walls was a phenomenal player. Kyra Elzy, Yukari Figg, Chelsea Lyman, Michaela Epps, Gwen Doyle, Monique Reed, Audia Mathis. I mean, man, I could just – Brittany Brown, we played her out of Florida, and she went up, had a great career at Florida State. She was an amazing player. So Rebecca Greenwell, Carly Omerod, Sega Robbins, we've played it against a lot.
You have. You played them all. That's awesome. But that's got to be a great experience. Favorite high school gym to coach in aside from your own?
I've been in a lot of great gyms throughout the years. I don't know. I don't. That's a tough one for me. I enjoy. That's something else. I'm old school. I enjoy going in to gyms, believe it or not, and coaching there. A real treat. We went down to Marshall County, and I got to coach down there in Western Kentucky one year. One of Howard's last years there. So that was a real treat for me, driving down there and playing in and coaching in that gym.
If you had said Valley, we wouldn't have been friends anymore. best place.
Well, we used to hate to go to Valley. I used to hate to go to Bellarmine, and now our kids and I really enjoy Bellarmine. My the best gym that I'd like to watch a game and coach a game is Berea's College. I love the Seabury Center there on the campus there at Berea. I enjoy that gym. And it's a great gym to watch a game. So anyway.
Last question. Favorite place to eat in Mount Washington?
Hometown Pizza, Bootleg Barbecue, and Half Times.
All right, perfect. Coach, if for anybody out there that doesn't know, Coach Stallings is an unbelievable family man. He lives what it means to find that balance and just truly, truly one of the awesome, awesome dudes in coaching. So I loved having you on, and I appreciate you, Coach.
Hey, Like I said, I appreciate you calling me and asking me. And I've been blessed through the years to be able to bring my family to the gym and represent our community. And it's meant the world to me through the years. And I've had a lot of great administrators and principals, staffs. And I think, you know, you need it all to be successful.
Much appreciated. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Wyatt.
All right. See you.
For Coach Stallings, this has been Wyatt Faust, and thanks for tuning in to the Coach's Playbook Podcast. I have to give a shout-out to Coach Stallings' son, Clayton, for being the best travel ball bookkeeper in the state. Check back in on Tuesday for a new episode as we look to get back on track releasing Tuesday and Thursday mornings. Until then, keep getting better.